Amen. Thank you, team. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, folks. You can be seated this morning. And while you're being seated, go ahead and get your Bible and turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11. And if you are new to Whitesburg, for weeks and months now, we have been studying the book of Acts, going through chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And today we find ourselves in Acts chapter 11 and in verse 1 through 18. Now, while you're turning in your Bible, I want to mention a couple of things to you. We have 2 weeks left in the Hard Questions series. This Wednesday and the next Wednesday, we're offering two opportunities to be a part of those. One is at 10:30 on Wednesday morning down at the Rock Chapel. And the second one is 6:15 here in the worship center. And so I want to encourage you to be a part. And we've got 2 more weeks of that. Another thing that I meant to mention when we were praying for the offering is, because of your generosity, I don't know how many of you have heard about the flooding in Vermont. Well, because of your generosity, we were able through our missions budget to send some resources to help the pastors and churches that were trying to help people in New England. And I want to thank you, church family, very, very much for that. And I just wanted to encourage you this morning that you are a generous church. It not only does things here locally, but we do things literally around the world. I want to ask you a question this morning. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you are readers? Now, we all know that we like stories. As a matter of fact, when we think about stories, we've got to remember now, I know the crowd I'm talking mostly to. So how many of you grew up reading the Hardy Boy mysteries? Okay. How many of you read the Nancy Drew mysteries? All the girls, right? And what are some favorite books you like to read to your kids? What about the Polar Express? Give a Mouse a Cookie? Right? You remember those? There's one that is probably one of the most reprinted books. It's The Very Hungry Caterpillar. What about Curious George? You remember those books? Do you know that some of the most read series of children's books, whether you agree with reading these or not, of course you would agree with the first one, The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, or Harry Potter. It's interesting because human beings are story-shaped creatures. I realize that with cinema graphics and all of the CGI and all of the development and technology, there's a lot of things that we see in film or on television that is generated, and maybe you're just geeky enough that that's what really excites you about a movie. But I think the vast majority of people like seeing a movie or watching a program because of the underlying story. Vicki and I were talking the other day. How many of you like those shows like AGT or American Idol and the singers and the people that do acts? You ever watch any of that? It's okay to admit that you do. This is not like, can I guilt someone out? But here's what we have. I told Vicki the other day, I said, what we know is that unless you have an underlying interesting story, you're not going to go very far, right? People connect with stories. They do. We're always telling stories. My guess is, if you were to go through the hallways of our church, you might find people gathered together or one-on-one, and somebody's telling them something that has happened to them this week. If it was fall football season, I know exactly what you'd be talking about. Did you watch the game yesterday? Did you see when he did that? Can you believe they called that? Or, you know, it's what we do. We talk about the experiences that we have in life. But I want you to know that stories are really God's idea. God is the one who created story. The storyline of the Bible is very important because it helps us think as Christians, formed by the great story that tells the truth about our world. It's really vitally important that people know the overarching storyline of the Bible that leads from creation to fall to redemption in Jesus Christ and the final restoration that's going to come in the fullness of time. And if you and I are going to live as Christians in a fallen world, we have to be shaped by the grand narrative of Scripture, and that's the worldview that we find in the Bible. We often use words like witness, testify, and testimony. And the reality is, whenever we use those words, people get fearful. You're going to ask me to do what? But what I want you to understand is that Christians ought to be a storytelling people because there is power in your story. That's what I'm going to talk about today from Acts chapter 11, is the power of your story. Listen to this. The Bible is a storybook. It's not a book of lectures, outlines, or sermons. It's a storybook filled with the most powerful stories you will ever be witness to. It's no wonder that God wants us to share our stories of how he's working in our lives. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, and chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, John tells us the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen, what we have heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you what's happening here. John is saying, we saw and we heard, and we're simply sharing with you the story of our experience of encountering the living God in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. When you get to Acts chapter 11, you may well remember that in Acts chapter 10, there's the story of Cornelius and Peter. Cornelius, a Roman centurion, who comes with his household to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Peter, the apostle to the Jewish people out of Jerusalem, had gone up into Palestine to teach and to preach. And it was here that God used this experience in Peter's life to remind him of the words of Jesus and to open the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. So people who were far from God were coming to faith in Christ. And then in Acts chapter 11, here's what happens. We really don't know how this happened, but Caesarea Maritime, where Peter met with Cornelius, was no more than 50 miles from Jerusalem, less than 50 miles. And somehow along the grapevine, word got back to the church in Jerusalem that the people in Caesarea, Gentiles, were coming to saving faith in Jesus. And they were very concerned about that. As a matter of fact, when we read the text here in a moment, you're going to see that their response to the salvation of the Gentiles was one of concern rather than joy at first. But here's what happens. Peter tells them the story of how God opened his eyes and his heart to see that even the Gentiles could be a part of the family of God. And it was Peter's personal account of God's activity that was used to influence and impact the Christians in Jerusalem. Now, I want to give you a statement, a key thought that I want you to remember this morning. Sharing your personal story of God's activity in your life influences and impacts people. So with that thought in mind, let me read it one more time. When you share your personal story of God's activity in your life, God will use that to influence and impact others. With that in mind, I want you to listen to the reading of God's word in Acts chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, and I'll read through verse 18. Why don't we stand this morning for the reading of God's word? Now the apostles and the brethren who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came to Jerusalem, those who were circumcised, meaning the Jewish people, took issue with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and you ate with them." Verse 4, you ought to underline, it's key. But Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in an orderly sequence, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying. And in a trance, I saw a vision, an object coming down like a great sheet lowered by four corners from the sky. And it came right down to me. And when I had fixed my gaze on it and was observing it, I saw the four-footed animals of the earth and the wild beast and the crawling creatures and the birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing unholy or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a voice from heaven answered a second time, 'What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy.' This happened three times, and everything was drawn back up into the sky. Behold, at that moment, three men appeared at the house in which they were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. These six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house," talking about Cornelius. "And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. He will speak with words to you by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning." Peter's referring to the day of Pentecost. "And I remembered the word of the Lord and how he used to say, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Therefore, if God gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, 'Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life.'" You may be seated. Let me remind you again that when you share your personal story of God's activity in your life, it will influence and impact other people. Now, what I want to do this morning is pull out four principles from this text that I think that you will find beneficial as you think about how you can share your story. First of all, I want you to know that the catalyst for your story is the activity of God in your life. The catalyst for your story is the activity of God in your life. Now, if you don't have any stories of God working in your life, that's a whole nother question we ought to be talking about. But what did Peter do? When you read the passage, all Peter did was tell the story. Verse 4, I believe it is, says it like this. Peter began speaking and proceeded to explain to them in orderly sequence. In other words, the Bible says that Peter went back and he began to tell the story of what God had done that led him to embrace the salvation of the Gentiles as a part of God's plan. You don't have to make up stories. You don't have to pretend anything. All God wants you to do is testify to what God has done. The word witness, all it really means is someone who tells what they know. And that's what Peter did. We actually see this all throughout the scripture. For example, when Jesus healed the blind man in John 9, the blind man said, "I know this, I was blind and now I see." When Jesus forgave the Samaritan woman, she told everyone, "Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Messiah?" The people of her village in John 4:42 later said, "Now we believe because we have heard him ourselves." These were simply common everyday folks like you and me telling the extraordinary story of Jesus working in their lives. And that's why in John 15:27, Jesus said this, "You must also tell others about me." Now I want you to listen to this statement I'm about to make. The first principle that I learned is that the catalyst for your story is the activity of God in your life. But I want you to remember that your stories are an overflow from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your stories are an overflow from a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, you don't only have a story of salvation, but you also have a story of sanctification. I'm so thrilled today. Two of our very dearest friends that we love from long ago, William and Faye Cruz, are sitting right here. Didn't know they were going to be here today. But one of the stories I have shared frequently with young pastors is a story of how God used this family in my life as a young pastor. I won't tell the whole story, but I made a very foolish statement to Faye when her daughter was having surgery in the hospital. It wasn't anything ugly or unkind. It was just a young, foolish statement. Do you even remember this, Faye? And several years later, we were actually, this was after we got to know each other. I hadn't been their pastor long, and I guess that maybe at the moment they didn't feel like they could say anything to me. But as we grew closer, and they are such dear people to Vicky and I, Faye made a statement to me when I was about a 30-year-old pastor. And she said, "Daryl, do you remember sitting in the hospital? Do you remember saying this?" I said, "Yes." And then she told me about how it impacted her. Not in a good way. And God spoke to me. And God showed me how foolish, as a young pastor, I was at that moment. And it's a story that I tell young pastors about the importance of listening to your lay people. You may learn a lot if you listen. Thank you, Faye. I appreciate that. You see, there's lots of stories, not just salvation stories, but there's stories of how God worked in your life, how maybe God used another person, or how when you read your Bible, God speaks to you. The catalyst for your story is the activity of God at work in your life. Psalm 71 says, "My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone, God. From my youth, you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds, so even to the old age and gray hairs." Psalm 22, verse 22, he says, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you." Psalm 40, "I've told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation." Psalm 66, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul." Has anybody had God do anything for your soul? Tell somebody about it. Psalm 145 says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty deeds." Matthew 5 says, "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house." In Acts chapter 4, when they had been commanded not to tell anybody about anything that was being done, Peter and John said, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard." I've said this to you time and time again. If you've ever been in the fire, you can't get the smell of smoke off your clothes. If you've ever been in the presence of the living Christ, if God has ever done anything in your heart, if you've been reading the Bible and God speaks to you, I'm telling you, it is like a fire shut up in your bones. You can't help but tell people what God is doing in your life. I'm not saying be preachy at them. I'm not saying you talk down to people, but you just listen, it's like an artesian well. It is out of the overflow of the abundance of what God has done. And it's not just the good things. Sometimes it's the stories of brokenness and pain and sadness and struggle that God uses to minister to somebody that you had no idea that you were going to minister to. Now, I almost didn't preach this sermon this way because I've shared much of this with you before. I wanted to take a different route, but then as I continued reading Acts chapter 11, I came away with the impactful power of Peter simply telling the story of how God opened his eyes that the gospel is not just for the Jew, it is also for the Gentile. The catalyst for your story is the activity of God in your life. The second thing that we learn in this is the content of your story. Now, what's happening in this story is Peter starts to put together the grand narrative of God's redemptive story. He sees the world from a new perspective, God's perspective. Listen to this. The storyline of the Bible is important because it helps us to think as Christians formed by the great story that tells the truth about our world. So what's the content of Peter's story? And it's the same thing that should be the content of our story. First of all, it's a gospel framework or a biblical worldview. When Peter shares this story, he's sharing it from God's perspective of how God sees the world, not from how we see the world. Everything should flow from a lens through which we filter it, called the Bible, the Word of God. Do you believe that? The American Bible Society does an annual State of the Bible report. In 2022, they released their annual State of the Report. I haven't seen one yet. Maybe it's out for 2023. But the report in 2022 reflects what happened in 2021. The American Bible Society has said that 26 million people had mostly or completely stopped reading their Bible in 2021. As a matter of fact, prior to the pandemic, 14% of Americans said they read their Bible daily. But what's interesting is, after the pandemic, rather than during a time of crisis, Bible reading didn't go up, it went down. Only 10% of Americans attest to reading their Bible daily. I want you to understand something. If you're going to be able to share the story of God's activity in your life, you have got to read the Word of God, because it's one story with many lessons to help us see the story of God's redemptive plan for human history. The content of your story has to be from a biblical worldview. Secondly, it has to be biblically accurate. Notice what happens in this passage. Peter says in verse 16, as he's telling the story, "I remembered the word of the Lord and how he used to say." Now that's important because the content of every story that you share must be biblically accurate. In other words, listen to this. Experience is not the authority. Experience always has to be verified and validated by the Word of God. We all have experiences, but we need to be certain that the experiences that we share are not just stories that sound good, but that we have a biblical foundation to connect them to so that we don't mislead people, but rather than our experience being the authority for our life, it's not our experience that is the authority, it is actually the Word of God that is the authority for our experience. So when you think about the stories that you're sharing, there should be a worldview that's scriptural. It should be biblically accurate. But then third, it's Christ-centered. Jesus should always be the hero of the story. Do you believe that? Every story has a main character. The problem in this narcissistic, self-centered age is we always want the story to be about us, right? But the Bible does have a main character, and it's God. Specifically, it's God as he reveals himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that whenever we share our stories, that God is the hero in the person of Jesus Christ. So two things we've seen. The catalyst for your story is the activity of God in your life. And out of that, your stories flow from the relationship you have with God. Secondly, the content of your story is important. It's not fluff. It's not just filler. It's rooted in and connected to God's redemptive story, the truth of the Bible, and Jesus should always be the hero. But I want to show you what happens when you share your stories. Four quick things. Look at this. What's the consequence from telling your story? Look in verse 18. When they heard this, they were quieted down. They glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life." When your story is told, first of all, God is glorified. When you brag on Jesus, God is glorified. Secondly, a biblical truth is either learned or strengthened. It was from Peter's experience that the church in Jerusalem learned that Jesus is the Savior of all men, Romans 1, 14 through 17. It was through him sharing this story, connecting it to the words of Jesus, that the Jewish church in Jerusalem quieted down and said, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." So when you share your story, there are consequences. God is glorified. A biblical truth is learned or strengthened. Third, Christians are impacted, challenged, encouraged, strengthened, and comforted. You may never know how God may use your story in someone else's life. And fourth, there's another consequence. Non-Christians are confronted. Not in a negative way, not, "Hey, we're going to stick it in your face." But rather they are brought face to face with the reality of the gospel claims, not only in your salvation story, but in the stories of how God is growing you and what God is doing in your life. I have people all the time, it comes up to me and say, "Man, I have a God story to tell you of how God did this in my life." I love hearing those stories. What I want you to do is tell them to everybody else too. The content of your story and the consequence of your story. Revelation 12:11 says, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And there's one other thing. I believe that in this lesson from Peter, we learn that God has given every one of us a call to tell our story. We see it in Acts 1:8. We've read this verse over and over again. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. In Luke 8:39, return to your home, declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. 2 Timothy 1:8, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Matthew 10:32, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. I think every one of us, you may not have a call to preach from a pulpit or even teach in a classroom, but that's not the same thing as telling your story. I can't tell your story for you. You have to tell your story. Stories help us to connect. Stories help us to connect. And when you say, I'm going to share my story with other people, you are helping them connect to the God of heaven who may be speaking into their own hearts. If you go to our website, we actually have a section on our Serve Strategy page called My Story. There's a digital format and there's a downloadable format where it will guide you through how to share your personal salvation story with someone else in a very short and succinct fashion. I want to encourage everyone here this morning and those that are listening online, go to the website, connect to the link, and make sure that you share your story. Let me tell you a story. Sometimes we don't ever know what God is doing. Sometimes we feel like God tells us to do things that we really are uncertain of why we do them. Yesterday, I preached a funeral for a lady who had died that has never come to Whitesburg Baptist Church. You say, well, Daryl, why would you do that? Well, our office got a phone call, and here's how the call went. For the last 3 years, our mom has been homebound, and she began watching your services online, and she watched them every week, and she considered Whitesburg her church. And I was just wondering if the pastor would be willing to come on a Saturday and speak at mom's funeral. I didn't know the lady. I've never met her before. I had a conversation with her son on the telephone. And so I went to the service. It was a very small group. There may be 12 people there. Two of her three sons. And I shared a message about God's presence is what brings peace. It was a very meaningful service. One of the sons and his daughter sang a couple of songs, and they're believers, and they live out in Texas. And after the service was over, I made my way down the aisle, and I was trying to leave and head home. And there was a group of three ladies standing there talking. And I just said, ladies, I hope you have a wonderful day. And a lady reached out and she grabbed my hand. And her eyes were filled with tears. And she said, I want to thank you for being here. And I couldn't quite make it out, but I think she said, my son died. I knew it was a family member. I believe it was her son. And through her tears, she looked at me and she said, I'm getting ready to go to his funeral. And I really needed what you had to say today. I didn't go do that funeral because I had to. I didn't go do that funeral because I didn't have anything else to do on a Saturday. Been a lot of Saturdays I haven't been home lately. I'm sure Vicky would have loved for me to have been there with her. And I'm not saying that to point anything to me. What I'm pointing out is that when you sense in your spirit the leadership of the Lord to do something, you don't know how God may use you in someone else's life. If you get it, say, I got it. And when you tell your story, your story connects with somebody. Maybe, first of all, it's your story of salvation. Here's the takeaway. Do you have a salvation story? Can you say that there was a time in your life that you know that you repented of your sin, the Spirit of God drew you to the Savior, and you cast yourself on the mercy of God and said, Jesus, save me? What's your story? Well, what about sanctification stories? You see, right now, everybody in here has got some kind of story. And I want to tell you, one of the greatest mistakes parents and grandparents make is not taking the time to tell their family their stories. Not just the good stories, not just the, you know, my family gets together and they like to laugh at me and tell stories about silly things I've done. I know that's hard for you to believe. I would do foolish things, but you know, one that my oldest son and daughter laughed the most about was when I tried to speak some Spanish in Belgium to some people one time. I don't know. There's no excuse. But I don't want those to be the only stories that my kids hear. I want them to hear about God's activity in Vicki and I's life when God did things we can't explain, or when God chastised us and corrected us and we repented and demonstrated that to our children. Don't make the mistake of making memories only. Create memories by sharing the stories of how God is at work in your life. Would you stand this morning? See, everybody here has a different story. I look out across our congregation and I know people that have a story of brokenness where God rebuilt them. I know people in this congregation that have a story of coming to saving faith after having been very far from God. There are stories of people in this congregation that have been through grief so deep and so hard. And I want to tell you, God doesn't want any of those stories to be kept to yourself. When you share God's activity in your life, you impact people. So here's the invitation. At the end of each service, we invite people to respond to the message. If you're here this morning and you're uncertain of having a salvation story, we have a pastor in the balcony. It's Adam Creel right up here. And if you want to stay in the balcony and go to Adam, he's going to be right there. We have pastors that will be here if you want to come and talk to a pastor. Whether it's about your salvation or just you need somebody to pray for you today, or maybe God's calling you to join our church, or maybe just to kneel at the altar. When's the last time you just came and humbled yourself before a holy God? Father, I'm asking that in the power of the name of Jesus, that your spirit would move, and that today we would learn from Peter the power of a gospel story that is filled with truth from Scripture and that is personal. Use it, God, for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.